Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this day back in 1965 that the Rolling Stones released a single which rose to number one on the charts. What is the name of that 1965 number one hit? A big hint here. Here's a snippet from that song. Sound familiar? What is the title of this song that stayed on the charts at number one for 4 weeks back in 1965? And question number two, it was on this very day back in 1959 that Robert Zimmerman graduated from high school in Hibbing, Minnesota. He later changed his name to what? Hint, the singer-songwriter was known for such hits as Like a Rolling Stone, Mr. Tambourine Man, and Blowin' in the Wind. So, did Robert Zimmerman become A, Robert Plant? Was it B, Bob Dylan? Did he become C, Bobby Darin? Did he become D, Bobby V? Or E, Bobby Rydell? So, what is Robert Zimmerman's stage name by which he is still known? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com. And today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of June the 5th. Well, it was on this day back in 1903 that composer Aram Ilyich Khachaturian was born. Now, Khachaturian is known for such compositions as Saber Dance, born today back in 1903. And it was 49 years ago today, 1971, that the Ed Sullivan Show aired for the very last time. It was canceled after 23 years on the air. Gladys Knight and the Pips were the musical guests on this last show, 1971 today. Position permeates the room when I walk in a place. I'm sorry. Way too much. Pretentiously, I bit your butt, but you bought it. I can't exceed my reputation. A small town girl with compensation. Exploiting all my possibilities. Miranda Lambert's Platinum introduces our country music news. It's titled Miranda Lambert, If I Can't Be Great, I'd Rather Wait. This is written by George Varga, published in San Diego Union Tribune on the 28th of February, 2020. When it comes to winning streaks, Miranda Lambert has a track record worth boasting about. Each of the 7 albums she has released since her 2005 breakthrough, Kerosene, entered the Billboard Top Country Album charts at number 1, and one of them, 2014's Platinum, earned her the 2nd of her 2 Grammy Awards, named the Recording Industry Association of America's 2019 Artist of the Year. Lambert has also won 13 Country Music Association Awards and 9 Academy of Country Music Female Vocalist of the Year Awards. Only makes you blonder. My heels are my hotel, they just got taller. Something about platinum, irrefutably. But that's all there's ever done by me. But years of stardom don't make an artist immune from the same everyday pressures and maladies as their fans or anyone else, especially when it comes to getting ill. The key difference is that when Lambert recently came down with a very bad cold, midway through her ongoing 2020 wild card winter tour, it adversely impacted her band, her road crew, her bank balance, and thousands of fans. I recently had to cancel a few shows, which is rare and absolutely breaks my heart, said the veteran vocal dynamo and songwriter, who conducted this interview via email after her doctor instructed her to cancel her phone interviews. When your voice goes, there's no backup, Lambert continued. It just stops the train from rolling. I take pretty good care of myself, especially while on tour, because a lot rides on being healthy. Sometimes the crowd brings me to another level when they're having fun. The more energy they have, the more we have, and it creates a really great room. But no amount of enthusiasm from her fans can convince her to do a substandard show, as the Texas-bred Lambert is quick to acknowledge. If I can't be great, I would rather wait and come back when I can be, she said. Lambert was just 17 when she launched her professional music career in 2000 as the singer and youngest member in Texas Pride, a band in her hometown of Longview. She wrote or co-wrote all the songs on her first album, including Kerosene's charged title track. In 2010, she gave a Union Tribune interview in which she said, "I'm a gambling girl. I like to take risks." 10 years later, is it easier or harder for her to take risks? And is she more inclined to take them or less? I still take risks. That's how we grow, replied Lambert. Article skips down, ends with this. I want to keep growing as a songwriter and as a woman, she said. I guess it's not really proving anything to anyone but me at this point in my career. Bach's Sheep May Safely Graze introduces our classical music news. It's an article entitled Bach in My Heart and My Heart in His Hands. And this is published on the 24th of April, 2020 by James R. Ostreich in the New York Times. Physician and writer Lewis Thomas died in 1993. In one essay, he wrote about a prospective attempt to contact whatever living creatures might inhabit interstellar reaches. What should we try to communicate? I would vote for Bach, Thomas wrote. All of Bach, streamed out into space over and over again. We would be bragging, of course, but it is surely excusable for us to put our best possible face on at a beginning of such an acquaintance. I would vote for Bach, too, especially at this time of hard truce. His music, like that of others, but more than most, can edify, elevate, and inspire in its intelligence, its endless inventiveness, and its understated emotion. And in its very intimacy, his music can pack a tremendous visceral punch. Bach wrote a lot of music that is ideal for social distancing, most noticeably his many solo works for violin, cello, or keyboard. During Music Never Sleeps NYC, a wonderful recent 24-hour live-streamed event, Bach after Bach emerged from the instruments of the artists transmitting from their apartments. This all came as blessed relief, solace indeed, but there was also an uncomfortable edge, for I often had to wonder, who am I to be privileged to wallow in Bach while so many people are suffering and dying of the virus? Who am I to be so gloriously entertained while doctors, nurses, and hospital supply, maintenance, and cleaning people are laboring as never before in unrelentingly terrifying conditions? I thought of a medical poet philosopher of our own moment, Craig R. Smith, the surgeon-in-chief at New York Presbyterian Hospital. 10 years ago, Smith performed open-heart surgery to replace my congenitally malformed aortic valve, which had led to years of worsening arrhythmia. How could you possibly thank someone who had actually handled your heart and fixed it? You can't, not adequately. But I gave Smith a CD copy of Bach's St. Matthew Passion, and fumblingly tried to explain that this music was one of my main reasons for wanting to live longer, and that I hoped that he might share some of the same feeling. Now, once again, I hope that Smith and his valiant colleagues might eventually find through music the solace and, yes, joy that some of us have already been privileged to salvage from this dreadful time. May Bach and his composing and performing colleagues help us all on what promises to be a long road to recovery. Wintertime introduces our jazz and blues music news. It's an article entitled, Nora Jones Bring It All Back Home. This is written by Patrick Doyle, published in Rolling Stone magazine, April 2020. After 2016's Daybreaks, Nora Jones decided to take a break from releasing albums, instead having fun on a series of one-off singles with friends like Mavis Staples and Jeff Tweedy of Wilco, who produced the song Wintertime playing in the background now. That turned into a prolific writing stretch and, in time, a new album, Pick Me Up Off the Floor, released on May the 8th, 2020. It's a soulful set addressing personal anxieties. I wasn't trying to string together anything. It was a kind of freeform way of working, says Jones. But the songs are all connected, probably because of me and my life and my brain. I found the thread after listening to the songs while walking my dog. Jones recorded some of it at home in Brooklyn. It's fun. I can wear my sweatpants and my bunny slippers. And in music research and technology, we have this article written by Jeremy Reynolds, published in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on the 24th of April, 2020, entitled, Can Music Boost Your Immune System? To boost your immune system, doctors recommend a healthy diet that embraces fruits and veggies and has no vitamin deficiencies. But how about a little Prokofiev? Sounds like quackery? It's not. Numerous studies, including a 2019 review in the journal Annual Research and Review in Biology, have found that both performing and listening to music can have a significant impact on the immune system. And as COVID-19 fosters global tensions and fear, everyone is looking for ways to mitigate that stress and boost the immune system to ward off viral infections. Certainly, music has an impact on the brain, and anxiety and stress impact the immune system, said Andrew Levine, a neurologist at the University of Pittsburgh. Levine, an amateur trumpet player who performs with several local ensembles, said he's not an expert in the ways music interacts with the brain, but it works for him. Music is a part of my stress release paradigm, he said, adding that he hasn't had much time lately to play. We know that music can affect brain states, so I don't believe it is much of a stretch to say that music can indirectly affect our physiology, and there is research that supports this notion. According to a 2013 review in the journal Brain Behavior and Immunity, the emotional and psychological effects of listening to music have a direct impact on biomarkers and hormone levels. Immunoglobulin A, which plays a crucial role in immune functions, was cited as being particularly responsive to music. There is also general consensus among researchers that listening to music reduces cortisol levels, with one 2007 study in the Journal of Music Therapy by A.J. Ferrer stating that music can be as effective as diazepam in reducing vital signs of anxiety. Does it matter what sort of music you're listening to? It does, but only whether you like the song. Prior associations and relationships with different types of music affect how your body responds. In general, research indicates that, quote-unquote, relaxing music, i.e., slower tempo, peaceful music, is better for calming frayed nerves, decreasing blood pressure and respiration, and settling the heart rate. Curiously, while major music streaming companies, including Spotify and Bandcamp, report dips in usage during the pandemic, classical music streaming has seen a bump, along with folk and children's music. A report by the classical music streaming service Primaphonic says listening habits have shifted away from early morning and evening listening to business hours. Listening during lunch hour has doubled, and countries that have been shut down the longest due to COVID-19 have seen up to 50% increase in listening time. This music provides hope. The article skips down and ends with this. Music therapists use music to treat acute anxiety and stress. But a more valuable use is exploring how music can help listeners work through anxiety and stress instead of simply covering over such sensations, which can be counterproductive. Using music for progressive muscle relaxation is a common technique at the moment.
And we fight to see each other on sight, but this thing
Floyd's Louder Than Words introduces our rock and pop music news. It's an article entitled Pink Floyd Say Goodbye with Louder Than Words. The band signed off with this song back in 2014, but its feud continues to rage on. This is written by Andy Green, Rolling Stone magazine, on May the 19th, 2020. Pink Floyd have been little more than a memory for the past quarter century, and the three surviving members are now in their mid-70s, but their ancient feud somehow lingers on. The latest battle revolves around Waters being locked out of the band's official website and Facebook page. That means he can't share news of any of his solo projects, including his upcoming This Is Not a Drill tour and his new rendition of Mother. With Floyd fans, he recently took to his own Facebook page to vent about the situation. Nothing from me is on the website. I am banned by David Gilmour from the website, Waters said at one point. David thinks he owns it. I think he thinks because I left the band in 1985 that he owns Pink Floyd, that he is Pink Floyd, and that I'm irrelevant and that I should keep my mouth shut. We're all welcome to our opinions. For whatever reason, the fragile peace did not last, though, because things weren't always quite this bad. The classic lineup of Waters, Gilmore, Mason, and keyboardist Richard Wright reunited at Live 8 in 2005, marking the first time they'd appeared on stage together since the end of The Wall Tour in 1981. And in 2014, when Gilmore and Mason decided to craft a new Pink Floyd record around vintage Richard Wright recordings, Waters was not asked to be a part of it. The Endless River album is largely instrumental, but the final song, Louder Than Words, features lyrics by Samson and vocals by Gilmore. They envisioned it as a grand goodbye from the band that summed up the whole saga. We bitch and we fight, Gilmore sings, diss each other on sight, but this thing we do, these times together, rain or shine or stormy weather, this thing we do, with world-weary grace, we've taken our places. We could curse it or nurse it and give it a name. It's louder than words. Barring a small miracle, that will likely be Pink Floyd's final musical statement. The bitching and fighting, however, will probably never end.
Blue sky, goodbye. Blue sky, goodbye.
The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band's Raleigh Durham Reel introduces our local music news. Introducing the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame, Incorporated. The primary purpose of the corporation is to recognize, promote, and commemorate the musical heritage of the state of North Carolina. In 2008, the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame in Kannapolis, North Carolina, was officially opened on June 1, 2009. Inductees into the NC Music Hall of Fame are from virtually every genre of music, including jazz, opera, hip-hop, and bluegrass. Inducted and honorary members include Kay Kaiser, Charlie Daniels, Ronnie Millsap, George Clinton, John Coltrane, Roberta Flack, Benny King, Thelonious Monk, Clyde McFadder, Max Roach, Earl Scruggs, Nina Simone, Kate Smith, James Taylor, Randy Travis, Les Brown, Andy Griffith, Doc Watson, Maurice Williams, Ben Folds, Tori Amos, Del Reeves, Clay Aiken, The Embers, The Avett Brothers, and Rihanna Giddens, among many others. So, how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this day back in 1965 that the Rolling Stones released a single which rose to number one on the charts. What's the name of that 1965 number one hit? And I played a recognizable snippet from the song as a big hint. Title of the song? Well, on May the 6th, 1965, the Rolling Stones played to about 3,000 people at Jack Russell Stadium in Clearwater, Florida, while on their very first U.S. tour. According to an article in the St. Petersburg Times, about 200 young fans got in an altercation with a line of police officers at the show, and the Stones made it through just four songs as chaos ensued. That night, Keith Richards woke up in his hotel room with the guitar riff and the lyric, "Can't Get No Satisfaction," in his head. He recorded it on a portable tape deck, went back to sleep, and brought it to the studio that week. The tape contained his guitar riff, followed by the sounds of him snoring. But the song rose to number one in the U.S. and Great Britain and stayed there for 4 weeks. Mick Jagger, 1968, said, "It sounded like a folk song when we first started working on it, and Keith didn't like it much. He didn't want it to be a single. He didn't think it would do very well. I think Keith thought it was a bit basic. I don't think he really listened to it properly. He was too close to it and just felt it was kind of silly stuff." Richards ran his guitar through a Gibson fuzz box to create the distortion effect. He had no intention of using the sound on the record, but Gibson had just sent him the device, and he thought the fuzz box would create sustained notes to help sketch out the horn section. The band thought it sounded great and wanted to use the sound because it would be very unusual for a rock record. Richards thought it sounded gimmicky and did not like the result, but the rest of the band convinced him to ditch the horn section and use the distorted guitar sound. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day back in 1959 that Robert Zimmerman graduated from high school in Hibbing, Minnesota. He later changed his name to what? And I gave as a hint that he was known for such hits like a Rolling Stone, Mr. Tambourine Man, and Blowin' in the Wind. Did Robert Zimmerman become A. Robert Plant, B. Bob Dylan, C. Bobby Darin, D. Bobby V, or E. Bobby Rydell? Correct answer, B. Bob Dylan. So let's close out today's program with a Robert Zimmerman tune that seems to capture the confusion and strangeness we occupy during these COVID-19 days of quarantine and information overload. Dylan's Ballad of a Thin Man.
You hand in your ticket and you go watch the geek who immediately walks up to you when he hears you speak and says, "How does it feel to be such a freak?" And you say, "Impossible," as he hands you a bone. Something is happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones?
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review, readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 919-832-5138. So long. Until next time.
Crooks. You've been through all of F. Scott Fitzgerald's books.